Get 10% off beer ingredients by using the code BB10 at highgravitybrew.com. As a special offer to Basic Brewing Radio listeners, Desiree and Dave have set up a discount code that will give you 10% off anything under the beer ingredients menu on highgravitybrew.com. Use BB10 and get 10% off the Build Your Own Beer page, beer ingredient kits, grain, hops, yeast, adjuncts, everything under the beer ingredients menu on highgravitybrew.com. This code can't be combined with other offers, but what a deal! Remember, BB10, that's two better than BB8, on highgravitybrew.com. That's highgravitybrew.com. Welcome to Basic Brewing Radio for Thursday, January 11th, 2024. I'm James Spencer. Here at Basic Brewing Radio, we're all about home brewing. This week, we'll talk to Andrew Burns of Dakota County Technical College in Minnesota about getting a formal education to go from home brewer to professional brewer. And is now a good time to go pro? If you want to support us financially, check out patreon.com/basicbrewing. And many thanks to everybody who has helped out in that way. If you go to patreon.com/basicbrewing, you can see a long list of stuff that you can access if you sign up as a supporter. Financial supporters have already seen the video that I'm going to post to the general public this week. It's the episode featuring the pre-Prohibition American Lager that Chris Colby and I formulated on this show. That was a dang tasty beer and beautiful. It was really crystal clear. I have a couple of keg fill bottles left of that, and that's it. The keg is gone. The keg is gone. And it was as clear in the bottle as it was in the keg. The next couple of videos will be on beers that Steve brewed, and of course, they were delicious as well. I hope your January is going well, whether you choose to go completely dry or do what I'm doing and just cut back a bit. I'm calling it moist January instead of dry January, but others are calling it damp January. I don't know. It's a toss-up to me on the which of those are more objectionable. As Steve said last week, we're getting ready for foamy February, and I have some ideas on what I'm going to brew next. I'm wanting to do a very hoppy extract pale ale, but I think I might ferment it with the current featured yeast from our friends and sponsors, that Imperial yeast, even though it's a lager yeast. I have a couple of packs of L25 Huga, which is a yeast from Copenhagen that creates clean and crisp hop-forward lagers, but I'm wanting to see what it does in a hoppy pale ale. Eben from Imperial says Huga is versatile, and Steve did brew an IPA last year with it for an oak aging experiment, so I'm thinking of using Huga in the basement with this big hoppy beer I want to brew. I think it'll turn out well because of those 200 billion cells in each easy-to-open package of Imperial yeast. You know, my stir plate is generally dusty because I don't use it anymore to make starters for moderate gravity 5-gallon batches. And with a shelf life of up to 4 months, that means that you can pick up a couple of pouches of Imperial yeast and plan your brews ahead. Ask your local homebrew shop about L25 Huga from Imperial Yeast and check out all the dependable deliciousness at imperialyeast.com. That's imperialyeast.com. Okay, in the old days, the standard way to become a professional brewer was to get in on the ground floor, you know, washing kegs or driving the delivery van or whatever. But nowadays, there are more programs, formal programs, available to get an education to try to get a leg up in the business. Well, let's talk to Andrew Burns of Dakota County Technical College in Minnesota about his course on brewing and beer steward technology. Andrew Burns, welcome to Basic Brewing Radio.
Hi, James. Happy to be here.
Where you at? Where are you?
I am calling you from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Oh, it's a little, probably a little more chilly up there than it is down here.
I imagine so. We've got a light dusting of snow covering the ground. Didn't quite have it for the holidays, but now it's snowy.
We were in Minneapolis, St. Paul during summertime. There was a homebrew conference up there, several years ago. And
you know, I was at that conference.
You were. We probably crossed paths at some point.
That's right. Yeah. At the time, I was working for Northern Brewer, and so we had a big booth that I was one of the employees responsible for manning, and so I got to attend the conference, but also work the conference.
Those were the days. I remember having a good time.
Yeah.
Up there. Well, excellent. Now you're not working for Northern Brewer anymore. You're in an education capacity, right?
Yeah, that's right. That was sort of the beginning of my professional beer journey. And where it's taken me right now is I teach a brewing program at a technical college here in Minnesota called Dakota County Technical College. So it's a local 2-year institution, and we have a 1-year certificate program designed for people who want to learn more about beer and brewing and work in the industry, ideally.
So it's beyond home brewing.
Yes, right. Many of the students are home brewers themselves. It could be the first step from home brewing into a world of brewing as a career.
Now, talk about your background. What gives you the credentials to teach other people into, you know, becoming professional brewers?
Well, that's a great question. The easiest answer is my previous job before this was brewing at a commercial scale. And in fact, I was managing a team of brewers here at a local brewery. So we talked about me starting at Northern Brewer. And from there, I got my first professional brewing job at a little small brewery called Chapel Brewing here in Minnesota. And that was right after going to a different brewing school that was sort of a private, fast-paced, high cost, high impact sort of brewing education that I got myself, and then got right into the world of brewing. And so I was the lone brewer for a small little brew pub setup, and kind of really cut my teeth there, refined my recipes, and learned to put the principles of theory that I'd learned into practice on the scale. And then from there, I went to sort of a mid-sized brewery here in Minneapolis called Prize Brewing Company. Started out as a brewer and wound up as the production manager. So we had 6 full-time brewers that I managed and trained. And, you know, through doing that job, a lot of what I wound up doing was teaching and training the brewers that were working under me and how to run that system and how to work through all of our processes and SOPs. And just a couple years ago, my wife and I had our first child, a 2-year-old daughter.
Congratulations.
And and so I at the same time that this opportunity opened up where I could take over this brewing program at the local college, it just seemed like the right time to sort of transition into a slightly different schedule, more of an academic schedule, and to take the knowledge and practical sort of approach to brewing that I had learned on the job as a brewer and a manager, and to distill that knowledge into a curriculum and put it to use in the college level.
What kind of an institution is Dakota County Technical College?
So it's part of the Minnesota state system. So it's a public community college. It happens to be a technical college, but it's sort of all in the same umbrella. And so, you know, it is a it has a lot of technical programs similar to the beer brewing program, which are sort of designed to get you right into industry. So things like how to be an auto mechanic or work in auto body, you know, be a vet tech, those sorts of things. And then it's also got some 2-year diplomas that, you know, students might transition into a 4-year university after. So it's kind of your classic sort of 2-year community based college, but it's a technical college, so we have a lot of space, and we have some of those more technical programs, which brewing falls into. We're pretty fortunate that at the college we have some brewing equipment, sort of like really, really premium home brewing equipment on site in a physical classroom. And so one of the programs we offer at DCTC is this in-person sort of flagship brewing program where students do get to practice on our pilot systems and get some hands-on brewing experience as part of the curriculum.
Yeah, there's nothing like, I mean, studying from books is one thing, and you can learn a lot from that. But actually getting your hands on is where the rubber meets the road and where people can actually, you know, that's when the lights turn on in the brain and say, aha, that's what they mean by all those things that we're reading in the book.
Yes, that's exactly right.
So is there, I mean, is there a classroom setting kind of thing along with working in the lab, sort of the brewery, the pilot brewery?
Yes. So I should mention a little bit about exactly what it is I'm teaching and what we're offering. So the main program, which has existed for several years at DCTC, I did not originate it. I'm the second instructor. So it had been going on for several years, and I stepped into the role when there was an opening, sort of coming from industry. But this main program is a mixture of in-person, sort of traditional classroom education and the lab time. We don't brew every class period. You know, the days that we do brew, that's generally the whole day is devoted to brewing. And then other days are a mixture of classroom time and lab time, sort of supporting the beers that are in progress in the lab. So we do talk a lot about the science of brewing and about sort of industry best practices and norms and how to execute that theory on industry type equipment. And then we go take it into the lab and put it into practice on the small scale.
And these classes happen on Saturdays.
That's right. Yeah. So at DCTC, the again, this main flagship program, which is sort of the in-person instruction, is all on Saturdays because we figure most of the people who are going to take this already have a job of some sort. So they might have a day job and they're just looking to enrich their brewing hobby or maybe transition from their current day job into a brewing job. And so the Saturday classes work really well for that. And then there's a fair number of people who are already working in the industry and they're taking these courses to sort of get a leg up and maybe move from maybe a packaging role or a low level seller role up into a brewer or a head brewer type job. And so again, having all of the classes happen on Saturdays really caters to that, to that crowd. So yeah, so it's a one school year, Saturdays only in person program. But that's just the sort of the one flagship program that has existed for several years now. We are launching this year, so this upcoming school year, start in August of 2024. We are launching an online only version of the curriculum. So it's a few fewer credits because we don't have the lab component where we're actually doing hands-on under my supervision. But it's all the same knowledge and curriculum, just in an online only format for people who want to, you know, who maybe can't get to the school every Saturday, aren't local to Minnesota. There's this online option. And then as part of that curriculum, students would get like an internship. So their hands-on learning is still happening at a working brewery, but we pair it with an internship.
So you could partner with breweries around the country or around the world, or what's the scope of the online portion?
That's exactly right. I don't see that there is a limit to this. That if you you know are interested in taking these classes and enrolling online, you could be sort of anywhere that you have a reliable internet connection, and it's all asynchronous. So the idea is each week you would work sort of at your own pace and complete that week's work and reading and lectures or whatever, just whenever it works for you that week. In my experience, it's not too difficult to go up to a brewery that you might like or admire and just say, hey, I'm enrolling in this program. I've got to do an internship. I would love to do it here. And especially if you're doing like an unpaid internship where you're really just there to learn, then it's pretty easy to talk head brewers into saying, hey, can you tell me everything you know? And they say, yeah, I know so much. And then again, a lot of the students are already in the industry and are looking to sort of advance. So they're typically using their existing jobs as their internship hours.
Yeah, I can tell you, you know, I have a degree in broadcast journalism. And, you know, the classwork was great and, you know, learning, you know, grammar and learning story structure and things like that. That was great. But I got an internship, an unpaid internship for, 20 hours a week at a TV station right. doing news.
Yeah.
And I learned as much, if not more, in that short, in that semester of free labor, actually shooting video, actually editing things, actually writing things, actually covering things, doing the stuff that takes it beyond the page. So that's great that you guys are working with, kind of real life situations.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's something that all of our students do to complete the certificate. So it's not unique to the online program. So the in-person program also has that component. But, we figured that for the online option, we're launching this new curriculum that would be a sort of a key to making it all click and make it all make sense.
It seems like I've heard of other programs similar to yours, popping up around the country. In fact, the University of Arkansas has, an educational opportunity for people wanting to get into brewing as well.
Right.
Is it becoming more necessary these days to have some sort of formal component to getting into brewing? I mean, it used to be, it seems like, the stories were, how did you wind up brewing? How did you wind up with your own brewery? Well, I started home brewing and then I started cleaning kegs at the local brewery and then I worked my way up. If you've got students who are actually already working in breweries, is this becoming more of a requirement that you get some formal knowledge to actually move up in the industry?
I think we're heading in that direction. And that's probably not surprising because, in any industry, you sort of start off with a very small sort of people just figuring out as they go along type businesses. But as those businesses mature, there is a need for some sort of educated labor force to sort of support the ongoing business. And I think we're seeing the craft beer world, especially in this country, start to think about that transition. It's not impossible to do exactly what you said, to start as a home brewer, begin cleaning kegs, work your way up, sort of prove your worth and stick with it. And I know brewers in the industry, and that was their path. That's still a viable path. What I see the education component is doing is, number one, it speeds up that process. So instead of spending several years working your way up and gradually being introduced to new equipment and slowly being entrusted with, actually brewing and manufacturing the product that is the lifeblood of that business. The schooling can allow you to take what might be 5 years worth of slow on the job mentorship and compress it down into one school year and come out of that one school year ready to make the leap to a brewer job right away. And when I look at breweries around me and what they're hiring for, I see a similar story. They have grown from small brew pub operations to more mid-sized production facilities. They make a lot of product, and that product is very, very important. And they don't just trust anyone off the street with the manufacturing of that product. And so they are looking for experienced brewers. But of course, you can't get experience from nowhere. Mm-hmm. And so education is sort of that first stepping stone where you can come out of this program and say, listen, I've done an internship. I've got all this book knowledge. I had my final project. I know how to brew beer. I am experienced, even in just this one small way. And that can make a candidate stand out and can really give them the entry point into the industry.
What are the biggest learning curves? What's your biggest challenges? What areas of the instruction, are the biggest hurdles for, either new brewers or home brewers or, even existing, people who work in the breweries? What's the biggest challenges?
It's funny, there's some small ones that many people might not think about, but just jargon and terms and sort of the norms, the way that brewers talk to one another, all the mix of hundreds of years old English words mixed with German words, which mixed with modern sciencey words, can be a big hurdle for someone who doesn't have any experience in the industry whatsoever. And so for new brewers, for people who don't have much experience at all, just speaking the language and understanding the brewing process, like what happens in the hot side, what happens in the cold side, what are the steps in order, what's happening, That is one of the biggest hurdles I find. And once students get that down, when we dig deeper into the science of all those steps, they're pretty ready to accept it, if they've mastered it initially. For homebrewers, I think it's a lot of unlearning some things that aren't relevant to the industry,
I was gonna ask
or maybe,
what bad habits do you have to break?
maybe dispelling some bad habits, or I would say instilling better habits. I think homebrewers aren't necessarily aware of the degree to which, especially on the cold side of brewery production, sanitation and proper procedure is sort of foremost at mind. And a home brewer might be perfectly fine just slapping two connections together and moving on with their day. Whereas at the commercial scale, I've got my small container of sanitizer. I am soaking my parts for the mandatory 2 minutes. I am spraying the gasket on both sides before I touch it and using a gloved hand to apply the gasket, then spraying afterward and making that connection. And sort of just the way we think about sanitation is something that a lot of home brewers need to sort of realize is, oh, it's a different, I always knew that cleanliness was important, but it's a different way of thinking at the commercial scale. And then also, it's just there's not always a one-to-one correspondence. The way, I was a home brewer, I still am a home brewer. The way we do things has evolved to suit the scale and suit the process that we're working on. And it's while the general main steps are the same and happen in the same order, the hows, the whys, the practicality of it is just different. And so you kind of have to go into it with an open mind. And hopefully at the end of it, what I find is that my students who were home brewers start off going, well, this isn't like how I do it at home. And then they end up going, oh, I see why I chose to do it this way at home as opposed to this way at scale. And both ways are correct. They're just fine-tuned for what makes sense for that scale and that process.
Yeah, in the beginning, when I first started brewing back in the mid-90s, all grain brewing especially was mirroring the professional scale. You had to have a mash tun. You had to have louder. You
Right.
had
You had
to.
to have a fly sparge, so you
Right,
had three
exactly.
vessels.
Exactly. Yeah. And you had a three vessel system because that's the way the pros do, and we're just making it smaller.
But even then, the funny part about that is a pro would never call that a three vessel system. We would always call it a two vessel system because your hot liquor tank is not a vessel. It doesn't count as a vessel. The hot liquor tank is understood. So it's only a two vessel system. So already we've diverged,
There
right?
you go. I'm learning something. Andrew, you're teaching me.
I mean, the classic example is the glass carboy secondary fermenter, meant to mirror the idea that, in industry we have these big conical tanks, and so we dump the yeast and other sediment out of the bottom of the tank. And so if we can't do that with our plastic bucket, well, maybe instead of removing the sediment, we can move the beer to a secondary vessel. But all that to realize that that is probably not necessary, probably does more harm than good, and isn't really a good representation of what the commercial process actually is trying to do. And I think I'm actually pretty proud of the homebrewing community for over the last, I would say, 15 to 20 years, breaking the bonds of copying the pros and instead going, what really works for us? And like you said, you don't need multiple vessels and a dedicated mash tun. You don't need to do fly sparging because what does that get you? At the end of the day, that gets you a few extra points worth of efficiency, which if you're brewing thousands of gallons at a time, really adds up. But if you're brewing for yourself, do you really care if your grain bill costs a dollar more? I mean, not really, right?
If you got bad efficiency, just buy another pound of grain.
Right, but grain is cheap, like that's it. Whereas, buying another 100 pounds of grain or another 1,000 pounds of grain, or even worse, having to brew 25 times a year instead of 22 times a year, that could really add up at scale. And so that's why those processes are important.
I was talking to a professional brewer the other day, and he said that he was comparing notes with another commercial brewer, and they were brewing a similar recipe, but he was getting so much better efficiency, that he was wondering why that was happening. And then, we got to talking about the relevance as far as, then you as a good brewer can actually improve the business of, you know, the financial side, because it's not only that you're making good beer, it's that you're making good beer efficiently and getting the most out of your ingredients as possible. Do you talk about that in the coursework? I mean, do you go into the business side of things as well as the technical side?
You know, it's definitely a technical program first, but we do address some of the business concerns. And a lot of times what we're talking about in the program is that there's more than one way to do something. There's multiple ways to accomplish a given task, a given process. And almost always the trade-off is more complicated equipment, more expensive, more involved, more labor, but you get better efficiency and at scale that can make sense. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times what we're talking about is exactly that kind of trade-off of there's more than one way to do this, and the needs of a brew pub where you only have one, you know, one production employee, he's the head brewer and the cellar person and the packaging deck all in one, that person might value different things and value their own time and getting the product through the system, you know, in a certain time period over, say, a few points of efficiency in terms of ingredient cost. Mm-hmm. Whereas another brewery with a big, you know, canning operation that's putting out, you know, thousands of barrels on a regular basis might value something else. And so, you know, it's the job of the brewer to, you know, either the brewer is the brewery owner, but more often these days is not the owner. It's the job of the brewer to sort of represent what the business most values, what it needs most. And the answer is not the same for every size and every type of operation.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Now, on social media, on Facebook and threads and stuff, I get all these headlines, you know, the headlines that get reposted are often the worst. You know, the worst news travels the fastest. And it's about, you know, how craft beer is flattening out. And, you know, I get all these notices. Like every week I get, you know, another, you know, once popular, once successful, you know, brewery or brew pub is now closing or, you know, having to sell or, you know, going into bankruptcy and all these, you know, all this bad news. Are you training people to go into a bad business, Andrew? Are you setting them up for eventual failure?
Well, that is certainly one reading of those headlines. I think I disagree with it. But, you know, I like we were saying earlier, I think it's just a sign that the industry is transitioning from sort of a nascent boom industry into a more mature industry. Mm-hmm. And when you have a more mature industry, it is normal for new players to enter the game every once in a while. And it's normal for old established players to shut their doors. That happens in every industry. You know, the restaurant industry is a classic example of tons of new restaurants always opening up, tons of restaurants always closing. Mm-hmm. And yet there never seems to be a lack of jobs for someone who knows how to work in a kitchen or work in the restaurant industry, right? Those places are still always hiring. So it's not, you know, the two don't necessarily go together. Just because breweries might be closing doesn't mean that it's an industry that's doomed to collapse any moment now. I think it's the opposite. I think it just shows that we've morphed into a more mature industry where experience and education and, you know, professionalism are just more valued and more important than, you know, who you know or being buddies with a guy who happened to have a wild idea to start a brewery one day. Well, I also think that it just shows how the industry is changing in a greater scale. You know, I think we could ask ourselves what changes brought about by the craft beer boom are here to stay. And I think things like drinking locally, choosing beer that is brewed near to where you live, is here to stay. I think that tap rooms and tasting rooms as places to hang out, to spend time, to meet with your friends, to have a good evening, or to meet with your family, bring your kids. They're usually all ages. I think that is here to stay. I think, you know, the brewery is sort of similar to the coffee shop in that regard. It's just a third space that people want to go to and want to spend time in. And so if those two things are here to stay, then I don't think the industry is due to collapse at any point. And, you know, to your point, where I live in Minneapolis, there have been several breweries that have closed recently. And to my knowledge, nearly every one of those spaces has now been reoccupied by a new venture. So for every brewery closing, there's still new breweries opening. I don't think we're in danger of a gigantic collapse in the brewing industry. I think that the craft beer culture that has been established is here to stay in some form or another, and that the breweries that adapt to it, that follow it, that know how to separate themselves from the pack are going to continue to grow and be very, very successful.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a test of, not only having a good product, having good beer, but knowing how to manage your business, manage the numbers, and then knowing how to establish a relationship with a group of people, whatever that group of people is, whether it's your neighborhood or whether it's people who have a certain, hobby like bicycling or something, or it's setting yourself up as an identity and kind of trying to bring people into that and having them kind of make your establishment a part of their lives,
Well, I think that's exactly right. I think it used to be that the fact that you were a brewery at all, that was the hook. Like, hey, we could go to this restaurant, we could go to this bar, but hey, this place actually makes the beer on site. Wouldn't that be fun? Well, I think the novelty of that has worn off. So I think you're exactly right. You have to find some way to embed yourself in the community, to be part of a neighborhood, to have a hook, to have a draw, to have something unique that keeps bringing people back again and again. And you got to do all that and have a good product, because if the product's bad, none of that will matter.
Yeah, I think it's also the palates of beer drinkers, I think, are getting better too. Because in the beginning, in the big boom, there were a lot of breweries making beer, but there were some breweries that weren't making such good beer,
Oh, yeah. That was, I think, the first wave of closures that I witnessed were all of the breweries that didn't make a good beer. That they got weaned out earlier. And now we're into the stage of, okay, you've figured out how to make good beer, and that is a good baseline. So how do we grow from there? How do you get people in the door? How do you promote your brand, given that it's a given, it's understood that you've got good beer?
Tell me some success stories. I mean, have you seen some people come out of the program and, do good things or be successful?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I have only, been in this program for just a, this is just my second school year. So I can think of some of the graduates from last year that are, working full time as brewers or head brewers already. I had some students who were, working maybe packaging type jobs, or even I had one student who was a delivery driver for a brewery. That was his entry point. He drove the Sprinter van around delivering kegs of cans to local accounts for a small brewery. Over the course of the one school year, I get emails sent to my desk that are like, hey, we're hiring, you got anyone? And I always pass those along to my students. And so, I can think of a student who was, a delivery driver at the beginning of the semester, and was a full-time, brewer for like a large production facility by the end of the school year. There's right local to us in at right next to Dakota County Technical College, is a small brewery that was founded by some graduates of the program. So they were actually local to that city, Rosemount, Minnesota, and they opened the brewery right there in Rosemount. And I take my students there on a tour every year. And so we can go and say, like, these are graduates of the program. Of all the graduates last year, I think it's safe to say that every student who wants a job, or nearly every student who wants a job in the industry, currently has one. There are a few students who I know are in the process of opening their own breweries that I've taught directly. And I know that they are making progress. A lot of them have the land, and they're sort of securing financing, and they've been able to convince some investors that they do know what they're talking about, that they've got this internship experience, that they can brew good beer, that they've got some recipes. But like I said, I'm still relatively new to the position, in that I'm teaching my second batch of students this year, and I look forward to more of those success stories.
Do you see, I mean, going through a class, you always It seems like there are always a couple of standouts, you know, that, you know, they go to the top of the class or whatever. Do you see people coming through that, you know, you taste their beer or you watch the way they work and you're like, you know, that person's going to go places.
You know, I think that, but I'm I don't know that I'm always right, because I can think of some students who didn't have any homebrewing experience. They didn't really have any beer industry experience to think of. They just had a passion for the product, for beers and breweries, and they wanted to learn how to make it and how to get involved. And I think of the first batches that they brewed on the pilot system were a litany of mistakes and quite a few off flavors. And oftentimes those students were the ones who surprised me, and that the final beers that they brewed before graduating were some of the best ones in the class. And so yes, you do see some standouts, but the truth is that making good beer is not all that difficult. And, you know, if it was, we wouldn't have this as a hobby. Right. And so I could say I was ecstatic with the product that my students were making by the end of the course, because it's not that hard to make good beer. And so they're making good beer. The difficulty is going to be when they go out and start to scale it and start to reproduce it. You know, the real test of a brewer is, can they make the same beer over and over again?
Yeah.
And can you make good beer, but is it always good? And, you know, is it consistent? Is it reliable? What processes do you have to make sure that this flagship beer is the same, whether you get it in July or December, whether you get it at the brewery or whether you get it at an account or at a can from a liquor store? How consistent can you be with that product? That's the real test.
Yeah. It's fun sometimes when you make I accidentally made an oat malt stout the other day that was, you know, several gravity points lower than I expected, you know, and it tastes good, you know, and I was like, hey, this is actually, you know, better than I expected, because, you know, here I'm trying to do moist January, you know, and drop a couple of pounds now I have a session beer on tap that's tasty. But, but if I was the production supervisor at a good sized brewery, that wouldn't fly.
No, that would be a problem. But, you know, we have techniques to combat that, you know. But it is true that the bigger you are, the more important it is that you are hitting those targets and that you know how to how to predict how your beer will turn out. And that there is definitely a skill to that, and it's a skill that's learned with time and with familiarity with the system you're on, with the equipment. You know, the better you know the equipment you're using for brewing, the better you're able to predict how a new recipe will perform on your brew house.
Mm-hmm. Any final words for people who want to learn more besides, you know, your URL, which I want to hear as well.
Yes.
But what's your advice to hobbyists or, you know, professionals who are just getting into it to either go pro or improve their standing?
Well, I guess my specialty is on the GoPro part, right? Like that's my day job is turning those hobbyists into potential professional brewers. So maybe that's what I want to talk about. So my advice, if you are thinking about going pro, if this is something that you really want to do, that you want to make the transition from whatever you're doing to working in the brewing industry, the sooner you start, the better it's going to be, that you really can learn by doing and get in and get a foot in the door. And I think that a college program like what we're doing, where you're getting the education to hopefully support that sort of real life on the job learning, is really the best path forward. You might have an idea of what job you want in the industry, and that idea might change by the time that you've gone through some learning and worked for a brewery and, you know, put the boots on and started to make beer. But there are a lot of different roles in production that people aren't aware of. There are quality control and lab based roles. You know, if you really like the science of brewing and want to spend your time in that department, that is an avenue that a lot of people don't even realize exists. You know, there are There are jobs for people who like to tinker and fix things, and there are jobs for people who just like to put their head down and work and make the product, you know? So the sooner you can, you know, get in, get some experience, even if it's 1 or 2 days a week, the sooner you can start, you know, a brewing school type program, the better you are going to find out what exactly is the best fit for you and how you can move forward in the industry.
So just go for it.
Yeah, I mean, kinda. I mean, it sounds silly, and a lot of people say that. A lot of people say, "Well, take your time, think about it carefully." But I mean, I think, yeah, there. It's still, from my perspective, it's still an industry that is ripe for new people and new ideas and new employees and new brewers to continue to make the industry better. And one of the other things, you know, I'm really working on is how can we, you know, make the industry more diverse. And so if you are, you know, one of those diverse voices who doesn't see yourself represented a lot of the times in the brewing world, you know, this is it, don't let that stop you, you know. Go to school, get the certificate, sort of prove that you have the knowledge, and get into the industry. URL.
Yes.
So
Yeah. How do we find you?
how do we find me? So as mentioned, it's Dakota County Technical College. And so those letters are dctc.edu because it's a college. So it's dctc.edu/brew, BREW, dctc.edu/brew. That'll have all the information on our current in-person program. And as we launch this online program, that will also be the home of the online program as well, if you're interested in sort of a brewing science and production certificate from the comfort of your own home.
Excellent. And that starts up in August.
That's right. Yep. So that's fall semester of 2024, which for us is August, like
Excellent.
late August.
Excellent. Well, this has been fun. And I'm always tempted to, kind of like see how I would do in a formal
Well,
I've been
you know.
talking about brewing for, 20 years. How
We
much
got
do I
ours.
really know?
Yeah, well, you've got an internet connection, I can tell you that.
It's a pretty good one most of
Yeah.
the
Yeah,
time. Well, Andrew, I appreciate it. This has been a lot of fun, and
thanks.
good luck talking to all the folks up there in Minneapolis, St. Paul, and hopefully all around the world.
Yeah, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Well, thanks again to Andrew. Again, the URL to find out more information about Andrew's program is dctc.edu/brew. And of course, the best of luck to everybody wanting to turn their homebrew passion into a career. Hey, don't forget about the discount code for highgravitybrew.com. BB10 will get you 10% off beer ingredients. That's everything you see under the beer ingredients menu on highgravitybrew.com. Enter BB10 at checkout or go to basicbrewing.com and click on the high gravity ad on the right-hand side of the page and the code will be entered automatically. The code is not available with other offers, but what a deal. That's BB10 at highgravitybrew.com. If you have brewing questions, show suggestions, or just want to say howdy, write to James at basicbrewing.com or just fill out the contact form on basicbrewing.com and please don't forget to tell us where you're from. Check out our mobile-friendly shop at basicbrewingshop.com. Thanks to everybody supporting us through our Patreon page. Special goodies coming your way. Check that out at patreon.com/basicbrewing. That's all until next time. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody. I'm James Spencer. Production help for Basic Brewing Radio and our website is provided by Kelly Dodson. Basic Brewing Radio is a production of Active Voicing. We'll talk to you next time, everybody. In the meantime, stay well and stay tuned. So long.